He is a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick Six NFL podcast, and yes, a real good friend of the program. Will Brinson is my guest. Good to have you, Will. How are you?
Jim, what's going on, man? Hope all's well in this dead period of the summer.
It's all good. And the best thing is, it's no longer a dead period, right? There's so much going on. NBA offseason, NFL offseason, the All-Star break right now. Let's talk some football. Let me start with the Falcons, Will. Julio Jones told TMZ that he's going to take the Falcons at their word that they'll take care of a new contract. And as a result, he is not going to hold out. What's your reaction to that news?
Well, a couple reactions, Jim. One, why does Julio Jones only talk to TMZ, and why does he only talk to them at airports? And how did they even realize it was Julio Jones when he's wearing a hoodie? It was very impressive work by the Atlanta area TMZ people. And two, I would say to Julio that you can be a little hopeful that Arthur Blank will you know, pay up as he promised, because you're Julio Jones. You've averaged almost 1,600 receiving yards the last 5 years. You're a dominant freak of nature who destroys everything in his path when it comes to catching footballs. But I would warn Julio and any NFL player that, as CBA negotiations loom, that maybe it's best not to take the owner's word for it when it comes to getting paid. If they did that, they would probably all have guaranteed contracts and be much less concerned about the future of labor negotiations. Now, that being said, I think Julio will probably get paid. I think it's a good time to pay him. He's got 3 years left on his deal, so you can, or, you know, 2 years left or whatever it is, you can extend him and get him to 5 years and maybe just say, all right, this will make him a Falcon for life. We can figure out the final few years of his career as needed down the road. He signed a pretty good deal, 5 years, $71 million back in 2015. Probably time to re-up and get him on that level of Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, all the other top-end wide receivers out there.
We're talking to Will Brinson, so bottom line that for me. If he does get paid what he's worth, and he's paid like the other top-end wide receivers, what kind of a contract are we talking about?
Well, I would say it depends on whether he wants to try and go with a full 5-year new deal or whether it's just an extension. But I think we'd be looking at something that breaks the bank in terms of, or resets the market, so to speak. I mean, Antonio Brown got paid by the Steelers and then got repaid by the Raiders. Odell Beckham has sort of indicated, Jim, that he wants to be repaid by the Browns not very long after being paid by the Giants. And I think Julio Jones is in that group. And in fact, you could make the case that Julio Jones is better than those guys based on his performance on the field and his willingness to be a quiet, good teammate who, you know, only rarely scrubs his Instagram profile of all things Falcons. So, I would say we're looking at, probably something in the, $100+ million range, depending on how many years they want to tack on here.
Will Brinson is joining us. All right, Will, as long as we're talking about contracts, let's talk Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota for a minute. What are your thoughts about Tampa Bay and Tennessee having, or what thoughts are they having about their respective quarterbacks and their contracts right now as they enter their final years?
Jim, it's the ultimate nightmare if you're a franchise, because you spent a top two pick respectively on these players, right? 1 and 2 when they came out in that draft. And you are in absolute quarterback limbo because you can't have seen enough from either one of these guys to commit to a long-term deal. I mean, Marcus Mariota has been efficient and outstanding at times. He still flashes that athleticism. He can make precision throws. He went a very long time without throwing a red zone interception in his career. But he just doesn't have that. He hadn't shown that top-end ability to be a franchise quarterback and the guy you want to give, you know, $30 million a year to. And so I think you need to see, if you're John Robinson, a healthy 16-game season. I think you want to see something in the neighborhood of 4,000 passing yards and something, you know, in the range of 35 to 40 touchdowns to really feel comfortable going up top with Mariota. Even if he does that, I would anticipate they franchise tag him and try to figure something out down the road or make him prove it a second year. And then with Jameis, I mean, there's even more added to the mix because his highs have maybe been higher than Mariota, but his lows have been lower. He's got off-field issues dating back to Florida State. Hasn't been able to put it together over the course of a full 16-game season. And if it doesn't work with Bruce Arians, I don't know who it's going to work with, Jim, because you talk about pairing, you know, you look at Carson Palmer and how he thrived once he got paired up with Bruce Arians in Arizona. You can make the case that this is the perfect fit for Jameis Winston. The Bruce Arians' motto is no risk it, no biscuit, and there's no bigger, like, just completely oblivious to chucking it down the field type of guy, and just he has no conscience when it comes to throwing interceptions than Jameis Winston. So in my mind, if you're the Bucs, what you need to see is a big-time season out of Jameis Winston, 16 games, no trouble off the field, leadership qualities in the locker room. And if he does that, you're probably looking at a franchise tag situation, but maybe you're willing to commit if you can buy low on him.
No risk it, no biscuit. Will Brinson joining us, one of my favorites. All right, so we're talking about off-the-field issues right now and high-end players. Ezekiel Elliott, the league announced that Elliott's not going to be suspended. What do you make of that decision and of Elliott's statement in response?
Yeah, it felt like as soon as that statement came out, Jim, that Zeke Elliott, you could tell it was like, hey, you might want to go out and apologize right now. You know, that's what he heard from Roger Goodell. And this is a pretty big win for the Cowboys in terms of their 2019 season and Zeke Elliott in terms of trying to prove that he deserves a contract for the long haul from the Cowboys. Now, whether they give it to him, that's a whole different ball of wax. This is a team that drafted two running backs, sort of surprisingly this year. Makes you wonder. I know the incident happened after that, but it makes you wonder what they think about Ezekiel Elliott and his ability to stay out of trouble over the long haul. Clearly, the NFL was willing to bring Zeke in and potentially say, hey, listen, man, we're going to suspend you again. I mean, he's in the danger zone now, Jim, where because he had that one suspension, because he's had this second incident, because he has some stuff dating back to his Ohio State days, where if he had something serious pop up again, he would be looking at a potential one-year banishment based on the NFL's personal conduct policy. Now, maybe that gets reworked in the next CBA, but I still think this is a guy, Zeke Elliott, where you got to tread lightly when you talk about his long-term ability to be on the field. When he plays, there's no one better at the position. He's led the league in rushing 2 out of his 3 years and only missed. He led the league in rushing yards per game the year he was suspended. So, I mean, we're talking about the best running back in football when he's on the field. He just hasn't shown an ability to do that. And I think the Cowboys dodged a major bullet here by not losing Zeke for multiple games.
We're talking to Will Brinson. All right, Will, what about the incident? An incident which has video of Browns running back Kareem Hunt outside the Barley House in Cleveland. First off, what do you make of the incident? And then as a follow, if you're the Browns front office, what's your reaction when you hear there's been yet another incident involving Kareem Hunt?
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody in their 20s to stop going out at night because that would make me a complete hypocrite. But when you've got this sort of thing floating around you, if you're Kareem Hunt, you should lock yourself in a, like, go to, like, Dutch Pennsylvania country and lock yourself in a cabin for 6 months and wait until you're reinstated. And don't go near a club, whether it's Cleveland, Vegas, Cincinnati, Raleigh. Don't go to a club anywhere. Don't get near any booze. He admitted when he first got in trouble that alcohol probably played a role in these incidents. And, I don't want to ascribe intent as to what happened outside that nightclub, because for all we know, those guys were joking around and it wasn't a big deal. But the reality is you are a public figure who has been popped by the NFL and popped by law enforcement for multiple issues involving alcohol and violence, usually later at night in situations. And so the best thing you can do if you're Kareem Hunt at your age, with your contract status, with your future in the league in jeopardy, is to stay away from all that stuff. And that's why it's so shocking to see it happen. And it makes you wonder, look, John Dorsey said there was going to be a zero tolerance policy with Kareem Hunt when they brought him into Cleveland. It seems like that might be maybe a not quite zero tolerance policy, because this would be, if this is a lesser player, Jim, he's gone. I mean, they're not going to put up with this. I think Kareem Hunt's talent is probably giving him a second or third chance here. But he needs to. He could be in for a world of hurt when it comes to his future in the league and future with the Browns if he has another incident.
Got a few more moments with Will Brinson talking NFL with him. Now, Will, of course, you are the leader of the Philip Rivers Army. In fact, you declared him the greatest quarterback in ACC history. Look, I've always had a ton of respect for Phil Rivers, both as a player and as a leader. For those who doubt him, lay out the argument as to why he is still underappreciated.
Yeah, I just think, Jim, one of the things that sets Philip Rivers apart is his toughness. This is the, to me, the thing that people always forget is that he played in an AFC championship game with a torn ACL. I mean, what player in the history of football has rolled out there the next week after tearing their ACL with no knee ligaments in place and then just gone out and played? And I'm not going to say they came that close to beating the Patriots in that game in New England, but I mean, they gave a decent effort, and Phillip Rivers on, you know, basically one leg. It's pretty hard to do. And by the way, he didn't miss a single game. He was back at training camp the next year. I think no one is tougher when it comes to staying in the pocket, making throws down the field. He's never complained once in his career about the lack of weapons around him. And he's had some good stretches. LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates, they had, but there was a time period there where the Chargers had nothing around him. They moved him to Los Angeles. I like to give him a little bit of Phil Mickelson action, Jim, because, you know, not just, you know, sort of goofy white dude who, you know, flops around and doesn't win anything right away. But, like, you look at Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady's his Tiger Woods. In another era, Phillip Rivers comes in and maybe wins a Super Bowl or wins two Super Bowls and is a lock for the Hall of Fame. But having to play in the same conference as Tom Brady for basically the entirety of his career, that's like having to play up against Tiger Woods head-to-head in golf. And so I think from that perspective, Rivers has really flown under the radar. People don't treat him as a surefire Hall of Famer, and he should be, because he's the second best, if not maybe the best quarterback in that 2004 draft class.
All right, so finally, what kind of a season do you expect then from Rivers and the Chargers?
Well, I took the year off last year with my Chargers Super Bowl predictions, Jim, but I think I'm back. I'm back in full force. I'm going Chargers all the way. It's probably unlikely, but I think given the turmoil in that division with everything Kansas City's dealing with, some possible regression for Patrick Mahomes, the way that the Chargers have built out that defense, I think they should be the favorite. They're not the betting favorite in Vegas. They're like 2-1 to win the division. I think it's a really good bet to take the Chargers there. Not that I think the Chiefs will be bad. I just think they could take a step back. And I think this is really Los Angeles' year to make a leap forward. And if they can stay healthy going into the playoffs, I think they're a team that can make a run and maybe pull off a Super Bowl victory. So I'm making that bold prediction now, and I look forward to it being thrown in my face when it's wrong in November.
I love it. You got to do it. He's a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, good friend of the program, has always been on our TV shows too. Will Brinson, great job, Will. Good to have you back. Thanks for doing that.
Always a blast, Jim. Have a great day.
You too, Will. Have a great day.